Please turn to John 14. John chapter 14. We talked about this some, I think. Write these things I spoke to you while abiding with you. Did we talk about this? Okay. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Note again here that Jesus does not give the Holy Spirit. Father does. It's a gift from Father. But the word for whom the Father will send in my name, the word there is in the Greek. The Father will send as you are resting in my name. And then we get to the purposes, two of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, that he will teach us all things. Teach us all things. Jesus made an interesting statement while he was on earth. Let no one, you know, don't call anyone teacher. You have one teacher. And he was called, often being called master and rabbi. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be our teacher. And I tell you that as believers, the church has not allowed believers to do that. Now, unfortunately, there are many in the ecclesia that want a lazy way. I shouldn't say lazy, the ecclesia. Many in the church want the lazy way. And we need to be on our guard that we not do that. We certainly need to be encouraging others not to do that. It's difficult. I mean, I remember one fellow a number of years ago, we were at this church, and the pastor started being up to things, and people began to get kind of, what's he doing? What's he saying this for? And people were beginning to realize he was manipulating others for money and for power. And there was a poor man standing there, as some people were talking about it. I remember listening, and the look on his face was shock. And he said, I don't know any other church. I don't know what to do. And he literally didn't know what to do. He was just, my God has turned out not to be a God. Now, no one needs to be that dumb. I mean, I'm sorry, no one needs to be. The Holy Spirit, you will find, if you will go to God's Word, He is more than faithful. And every person here, as you are here for any length of time and you are doing commentary and meditating and this kind of thing, pretty soon, I think one of the biggest charges that we get out of life is when one of you that has never said the following words says, and I was just praying and God said, and we do our best not to go, yes, and jump up and down and scream and yell, but it gets pretty exciting because we're going, that's called relationship, and it's begun, and the Holy Spirit is there to do that, to teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that Jesus said. As I've said before, the Holy Spirit is here for our meditation and our memorization, teaching us all things and bringing to our remembrance all that he said. And so, again, that's another thing. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you remember these things. Use his mind. Again, look at we're going to be going to John chapter 20, if you would, please. And we're going to see, again, kingdom of heaven, peace, love, and joy, resting in the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was going to be in us. The Holy Spirit was in Jesus, and he was sent by the Father. Now it's our turn. Because we are in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit.
Jesus therefore said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, and I also send you. and he had said that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.
First, we see the connection of peace and the Holy Spirit. Then we see the connection of breath, pneuma, and the holy pneuma. The purpose in the Holy Spirit, again, I send you. And then that thing that Jesus did that got people so upset, your sins are forgiven. Oh, you can't do that. Well, yes, actually I can. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they've been retained. We see this in Matthew 16 connected to what? What? Binding and loosing. Yeah. I want you to read these scriptures again with me. And we'll go and look just because. So Jesus said to them again, peace. Please hear it. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. That is a very authoritative statement. My Father sent me, I'm sending you. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He's giving them a command. I believe he's giving us a command too. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 16, 18. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, and that was Peter's, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. In fact, let's go up verse 13. Let's go ahead and do it. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, how did that happen? The Holy Spirit. Okay? You see, I mean, this is connected all over the place, but you really need to kind of pay a little attention. My Father who is in heaven, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of my Father revealing to you, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the living dead, the gates of Hades, shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound on earth. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And it is when we are... One of the things that we need to be doing is offering people forgiveness and praying for forgiveness and speaking that forgiveness to them. And I believe that this is a big part of the keys to the kingdom, to help people get in. They're in Hades, they're in hell, even if they're, you know, just living. And part of our job is to get them out of that. Anyway, any statements or questions on this before we move on? Everybody good? Got it all down?
The Holy Spirit allows us to be forgiven within Yeshua?
That the Holy Spirit does what?
Allows us to be forgiven? Or is he just the vessel? It said that Jesus breathed on them and he said their sins were forgiven. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus saying, I'm doing it. Whatever you bind has been bound. And Jesus won that victory at the cross. He did the binding and he did the loosing. And we are to walk in that. While it is the power of the Holy Spirit, I understand that. it is there that we are to speak forth those truths. And it's Jesus that is our commander in this. And he, we're going to run across the scripture here in a little bit, it's reiterating that he is the one that baptizes us. And it's a natural thing to be baptized in him because we get in him, we are in him. But the Holy Spirit, I don't think, is necessarily, I don't know how to put this and sound almost totally blasphemous, but it's not necessarily connected to this part of the binding and loosing. This is the Son of Man doing this, the Son of God.
Jurisdiction, not the Holy Spirit's.
Well, you can't divide them, okay? A bit difficult. But Jesus is the one that said, go. Jesus is the one that's telling us, here's this authority. Jesus is the one that did the victory, the winning of the battle, of the war, by the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong, but it is not the Holy Spirit. I don't see anywhere where the Holy Spirit. Does anybody see anywhere where the Holy Spirit does forgiving? I mean, I know it's God. If we look at it like, well, wait a second, it's God. Wait a second, you've been saying this to us, and so. It would have to be, I suppose you would say, orchestrated fully by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I shut up. Yeah. Yeah. You could say that. Okay. Anyone? Yes?
Confirmation to that, it says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then it gives a definition of what that looks like on earth. And it's give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then you see in somewhere, Romans, I think, where it says the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in resting in the Holy Spirit. So it's that resting in God, and he gives you, he brings about that power to forgive.
Yeah, and the direction to do it too. We won't. I mean, you know, our desire is, I mean, that's a scary scripture, if you look, for someone that likes bitterness. Verse 23 in John 20, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. Wait a second. Whoa! I don't want to get away with it. I mean, isn't that where the problem is? We want to hold on to our bitterness. Anyone else? Ms. Davis? Okay, let's move on then. again, some of these are short, but Acts chapter 1. We have made it into Acts. We've done almost every scripture on the Holy Spirit in the Gospels. Now it starts to get with it. Okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 2. We don't get very far. Speaking of Jesus, and it says, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. I had to stop and go, why is that in there? To tell us something. That Jesus was led and is being led by the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says. After he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles. I mean, there's something kind of funny about that. Here's your orders. They come from the big cheese. You know, this is from headquarters. By the Holy Spirit, he's speaking to them. Now, you need to, by the Holy Spirit, he's speaking to them. I'm here to tell you. Mrs. Davis and I so often speak in the Holy Spirit to y'all. I mean, that's just the natural way that things are. Today, there was a decision we had to make. And yesterday, we thought it was going to go in a particular direction. This morning, I woke up and I thought, I don't think it's going to go that way. And I asked her about it, And she had exactly the same mind. And it happened this morning. Boom, boom. We rebelled. And no, that's not. The Holy Spirit speaks. He wants to speak to you and guide you. Different ones come to us at different times for counsel. And you expect to get at least something worth the high price that you pay for the time hourly there. And our expectation, honestly, is that something is going to come out. I mean, sometimes it's pretty weird when you're first doing it. Counseling seminars or wherever we would go, suddenly you're thrown into counseling. We're not professional counselors. We don't know what we're doing. But the Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. And we would just wind up talking to somebody. They bring in, and some of it was pretty nasty stuff. I think I mentioned that, was it last semester? We got a letter, or semester before. You don't remember us, but it was a counseling seminar, and Mrs. Davis and I counseling this person and part of the family with them, and we told him the truth. And God, in that, you know, helped pull them out of some things. You're not prepared for that. You don't know the answers. You don't know these people. You're not involved in their lives. But the Holy Spirit is. And they, remember, when you're looking for counsel, you're often down in the fog. I mean, you know, it's the fog of battle, if you want to put it that way. Oh, man. And so you're coming to somebody tell me something. And the Holy Spirit speaks a word of what? Wisdom. Boom. There's wisdom. Where do you get this wisdom? I don't have it. There's no problem. I don't have wisdom. I seek wisdom. But in my case, seeking wisdom is not getting a whole bunch of philosophy books and whatever. Ms. Davis is the same way. It's no, I go seek wisdom. I sit at the feet of wisdom, personified. The Word of God personified. And then He speaks as the Spirit gives utterance. We shall talk about that. Let's go on down a few verses. Verse 8, same chapter. Jesus speaking, He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power for what? He says it. You will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. Power is the Holy Spirit coming upon you. I say it again. Everyone in this room, everyone in the ecclesia, needs the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you think He is gone, you need Him. And that power, in fact, is one of the main reasons that Jesus came. A new covenant, a better covenant. And that better covenant is we are in Christ, but because we are in Christ, we can receive the very life of God. Okay? So power is the reason. The reason for receiving that power is to be one of His witnesses. Mrs. Davis, anything? Anyone on this before we move on? We're moving at a pretty good clip, which is shocking for us. Good? All right. And here, we're going to get away from where we've been going through the scriptures just as the way they in the way that they occur, and we are about to hit a spot, and we are going to get away from all of my notes. Oh, that's should scare everyone. But away we go. Acts 2:4, and here we go. The falling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Wow. You are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. John baptized in water, but Jesus is going to baptize in fire and the Holy Spirit. We've already looked. It is God that gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? It's God. It's God. Jesus is the baptizer as the Son of God. Okay? He is, because he is filled with the Holy Spirit and we get up inside him, I mean, this is really not that difficult to figure out. You get inside Christ, you get inside the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's inside Christ. You know, he's filled with it. And we are, because of it, the word for baptism is immersion. We're in him. They were all filled, this is the upper room, all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Lord was giving them utterance. They all were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues again. But it was as the Spirit. Not, they weren't conjuring it up or anything like this. As the Spirit was giving them utterance. Scripture does not uphold that every time someone is filled with the Spirit, they spoke and they speak in other tongues. And we're going to see that as we go along. as we've brought up before, there are denominations, people that say, oh, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. You have to. Here, at the first time, we see them speaking in tongues, but under the control and manifestation from the Holy Spirit. And we're going to take a look at why tongues, what tongues are, the controversy with tongues, and then we're going to lead y'all in learning to... Oh, no, that was... no, never mind. As I said, here it happened that they spoke in tongues, but it was not some out-of-control free-for-all. Speaking is in tongues is in the control of the orderly Holy Spirit. Before we go there, I want you just to read verse Acts 2, chapter 2, 33. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father, look at what we're seeing here. Look at this. This is fascinating. Jesus, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Poured forth. Acts 2:33. Jesus received the Holy Spirit from the Father. Wait a second, I thought he already had the Holy Spirit. Jesus received the promise of the Holy Spirit for you in the heavenlies. After he was exalted and was at the right hand of God, it said that then he received the promise of the... Why? Because it had been promised. And I've done my duty. You now will do yours. You, yes, I will. I desire to give you and those in you my very living Spirit. And often in baptism, they did not always... put somebody, you know, like at a river. And I thought, where do you see, I can't remember, some movie we've seen has this type of baptism. A person will be in the water, and they would have a bowl or a pitcher, and they would dip it in and not necessarily put the poor person under the water and pick it back up again, the Baptist way, and which is fine, but they would take this and pour it on them. Now look what this verse says. What are we seeing? The Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, who's the he? Father or who? No, this is, look, therefore having been exalted to the right hand of God, who's the subject? Jesus, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, who's the subject? Who's the subject? Jesus. He has poured forth this from which you both see and hear. Remember again those scriptures. His disciples were baptizing in water, but Jesus was not doing so. Why? John said, I baptize you in water, but there's going to be one coming. And Jesus didn't do the baptizing in the water. He let his disciples do it. Doing the same, I'm sure, because many of his disciples came from John, the same baptism that they would have been used to with water, but knowing if they were believing Jesus, well, he was going to be giving and baptizing. He was going to do the baptizing in the Holy Spirit. Okay, before we go on, any questions or comments on what we talked about? Yes, ma'am.
What is the baptizing with fire? Can you talk about that?
Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing, remember the word there in the Greek, is that of fire. A fire burning off the dross. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What's wrong with you people? You know, you're surprised that you've got this fiery ordeal. There are the vessels that are some good and some not quite so good. And every man's work will be tested. How? As if by fire. Fire, life. You can spell it a different way. Pain, suffering, the cross, all of those things. The baptism by fire. When somebody gives you, you know, you'll see, boy, they got a baptism by fire, taking it from the Bible. But that person jumped into it. Wow, I thought I was gonna start out slow, and all of a sudden it's, you know, really fast and hard. Baptism by fire burns off the things that you thought were important. And so that's what it's talking about, I believe. The suffering that we have and the cross that we have there.
They had physical flame above their heads. Mm-hmm. And is that because I guess Jesus just wanted us to see it or give a physical form of what it would look like?
Yeah, I don't know why at that time that happened. I've never heard. I think, again, the reason for that was to say something very loudly. This is something very different. Now, it was a flame of fire over them. And where do you it always makes me think back onto the Mosaic Covenant and the covenant people under that cloud of the flame of God over them. But for whatever reason, that fire, and perhaps that fire, they were baptized in a fire at that point. They certainly became fiery. I mean, you thought Peter was impetuous before. My goodness, now he's got the Holy Spirit in him, and you better get out of the way. He now has power. But do you know have any thoughts on what the fire would?
Them, it says,
which is what I was talking about, but
3:11. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I am. I'm not fit to remove the sandal. We've read this before. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he'll gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I've always thought of it as pure. They were being purified.
Right then.
That's what I think, because it says he'll baptize you with the Spirit and with fire, and it was flames of fire on them. But that's just my opinion on it.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Could it be too, because they were involved with the ultimate suffering on the cross that Jesus was going through?
like, I don't know, this is just a thought, like, they were part of that suffering. They were suffering with him as a friend and brother and as their Lord. And being purified in that as well. And that complete purification had become complete by then. And then got baptized into the Spirit and the fire.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it could well be that.
Just another verse that I kind of go to when being baptized with Holy Spirit and fire. That the fire, like Ms. Lee said, is purification. It's in 1 Corinthians 3. Hold on, did you read this one? Or? Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Did she just read that?
I didn't read it. I quoted it, but paraphrased it.
Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed as fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. So, yeah. That's just another verse.
Yeah. It's true. Fire is always purification in the sense of this, in the Christian life. Anyone else?
Is that why he said he's going to destroy the earth by fire? Is because he's purifying it and making a new creation?
That very well could be. This would get us off in the Nephilim without it. You go back far enough. It could be. You know, we talk about. I mean, you see the scripture that says there was a new heaven and a new earth. Now, if you don't read any further, could it not be the new heaven and new earth just simply because of Christ's life in that? In other words, a new heaven and a new earth, the new heaven populated only with angels loyal to God. Those of us going back and forth loyal to God,
loving God. A new earth, I make all things new. A new God, a new earth, because we are there and loving God. And the end of that, the purification of that, is what the fire is. It says that it will pass away, though. This is where I do not understand this. There's a lot of stuff about Revelation, honestly, and the end times, that I think this group understands a whole lot better than all the eschatology-type people running around out there. But there, that is one of the places that I go tilt, because it says it. The elements will be destroyed. Now, perhaps that word elements is a different word, I don't know. But it sounds like it's not going to be just a purification process. It could be that he destroys the whole thing and remakes it, but there are a number of denominations that believe that he is not going to destroy this earth. He will purify this earth, and this is the earth that we will have. He may do some recreation on it. I hope he slows down chiggers and, you know, fire ants and things like that. But that one is I still, I don't know on that one. Ms. Davis, you have any comments on that? But you could be right.
Connected on fire, something I was reading in Isaiah 44 recently. Surely he cuts cedars for himself and takes a cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir, and this is God speaking of man, makes the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and warms himself. He also makes a fire to bake bread. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes a graven image and falls down before it. Half he burns in the fire, over this half he eats meat and roasts a fire, and is satisfied. He warms himself and says, aha, I'm warm, I've seen the fire. The rest of it he makes into a god, his graven image, falls down before it and worships it. He also prays to it and says, deliver me, for thou art my God. So it's just something interesting about fire.
Fire is also, of course, he would bring up, you made your children pass through the fire in terms of idolatry. There's where it's bad, but usually the fire from the Holy Spirit, the fire that God is talking about, is a purifying kind of thing. So, anyway, yep, connection. Anyone else?
Back on verse 33 in Acts 2, where Jesus received the promise of the Holy Spirit, I thought it was just really interesting that he would receive the promise so that he could give it to us, his body. And it just showed such a clear picture of here he is in a resurrected, glorified state, still submitting himself to the Father and receiving, and it's just so covenant, you know. He, the head, is receiving from the Father what he wants to give to his body.
Right.
And that was just a really neat picture.
Yeah. That's a pivotal verse. Looking back, a lot of the things that Jesus said are coming. I'm going to the Father and I'm going to do this. And it's this verse that is pivotal telling us
what happened. Jesus in covenant received that for us. And then he gave it to us. You've seen this poured out. It's this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's a huge scripture. For you to understand a lot of the things that Jesus said coming up to the time of the cross where he would defeat the enemy for us. Anyone else? Do 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 do. 1 Corinthians, please. First Corinthians chapter 12. We may never see Acts again. We'll try to get back there, but you know this. Now concerning spiritual gifts. And away we go. We absolutely believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We absolutely do not believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been done away. The Bible speaks of them. It never says they will be done away. It never says they have been done away. The verses that they use to prove it are nauseatingly specious is a good word. False, taken out of completely out of context. And folks, the Holy Spirit again has not run off. I tell you what, you hold there at 1 Corinthians 12, but I want to look at where is the verse? There's the Peter, I think it's Peter, is sent to Cornelius, Acts 2:39, for the promise, thank you. The promise is for you and your children and for those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. What's the promise? Look above. Repent and let each of you be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. Except when John MacArthur says it doesn't happen anymore. And every other person like that that is afraid of actually knowing God. I'm sorry, but that is just wrong. What is the Bible? I got a choice. I can believe those people or I can believe the Bible. Go away. And you need to be quiet. Are there abuses in this, yes, but we are about to talk about what's not abusive. Ms. Davis, anything before we carry on here? You're trying to get me to calm down? Okay. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. How about that? But you can be unaware if they are no longer here. Doesn't matter anymore. But we're not going to talk about that. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I've heard people, some people say, oh, that's the test for somebody being saved. That's not what that says. That would be going in exactly the opposite direction. Okay? I could force somebody, could I not, torture them, to say Jesus is Lord? I could. And they wouldn't be necessarily saying it via the Holy Spirit. Yes.
We can't really call him Lord without the Spirit in our mind.
Yeah, this is the point.
Because he won't have the control of our, you know, the manifestation of the life of the Son in us. And us know him as Lord without the Holy Spirit.
No, you're not going to. The Holy Spirit
is, look folks, Jesus Christ sent the very Spirit of God. Get the term, yada, yada. You can't get any closer. Oh, really? Yes, you can. I want everybody, I want to show you how close you can get to God. Y'all ready? Do what I do. You ready? That's how close you get to God. That's why he would call himself the Holy Breath. And you feel. And I'm telling you, the imagery, the very wording is to tell us something. This is how close God wants to be to you. And the even speaking forth coming from the fact that you had to inhale to speak it out. The Holy Breath coming in, and then it speaks, Jesus is Lord, that you can actually mean. And yes, that I believe that you're right there. Yes?
It says, Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The word by there is actually the Greek word en.
En. Wow. Except resting in books. What's wrong with people? Anyway, all right, good.
Thank you. All right, here we go. And by the way, we're going to read through these things, but we're going to talk first about tongues because it is the most controversial and the silliest of the things. So we're going to, I'm not saying that tongues are silly, but what mankind has done to them is silly. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Wait a second. Varieties of gifts. The Holy Spirit comes, but there are varieties of gifts. Now, I take that, honestly, as, wait a second, not everybody speaks in tongues when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know it didn't say that, but it is saying there are gifts from the Holy Spirit that are not speaking in tongues. Now, let's move on. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you don't think that that is one of the most important scriptures in all of the Bible, for these people that first have kicked out the Holy Spirit or those that are afraid of the Holy Spirit, those that are misusing the Holy Spirit. Folks, this is what the Holy Spirit was not sent for our entertainment. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of churches and a lot of non-churches that that's what it's about. You know, get the feeling. Yeah. And they're all falling around, running around. I was in a church where the pastor had to tell young men, stop running. They were running in the Spirit. This is teenage boys running up and down the aisles in this church, and the pastor had to say, stop it. You're out of order, and if somebody steps out in front of you, you're going to kill them. Stop it. And then I couldn't believe this. It's a Pentecostal pastor. He said, it's no wonder that people laugh at us. He said, at our national meeting, this guy understands something. He said, at the national meeting that we had this year of our Pentecostal churches, at one of the meetings, a number of the pastors started on one side of this monstrous auditorium, but up the stage, and rolled across it. This is our pastors, rolling in the Spirit. And he's talking to his congregation. He said, folks, this is not biblical. This is wrong. Come on, I'll hold him down. You hit him. He's, what? But that was the denomination. He said, no wonder people laugh at us. And they don't take us for something is real. And it's right. What did they do? They did something in the flesh for entertainment, to show off, honestly. And no one called him down on it.
Oh. I'm about to tell you the worst one that I know. We missed it. But this barking and growling in the Spirit that was going on, I guess maybe it's still on, the Toronto Blessing, it was called, and manifested itself big time down in Florida, and then they tried to spread it around all sorts of different places. And a church that we were in at one time, but had been gone from for a while, brought in some of these people that laughed and barked and growled. We could have sent them Luther. Other than laughter, he would have gotten it. Ooh, give me a treat. Same deal. This is terrible. And they were there, I don't know how many days and nights, doing their deal and talking to all these people. I got a report from a fellow that I was discipling. He wasn't doing much in the way of discipling. But he was still there. He was one of the deacons, had been made a deacon at the same time as myself. And he said, yeah, we had these testimonials. And he said this one woman got up and he said she's standing at the pulpit and said, all of my life I've been so sad. I've been so sad. And I never really had any friends. I never laughed very much. But during this time, I had hands laid on me, and I looked up and I saw, this is horrible to say, I saw Jesus standing there in a chicken suit. And I realized he did that for me. I'll never be the same. I screamed in the phone. I did. I was at my office. They're probably still dealing with the damage I did to the wall. I screamed, where were the elders? Where were the elders? What were they doing? They were there and they sat there. This is the kind of abuses. No, I mean, it's no wonder that Mr. MacArthur and some of these other people react to this stuff.
That is blasphemy. That is heresy. You are talking about the Lord of the universe. You are talking about the Lord that saved our lives, that went to the cross. And some idiot up there, concerned about her own deal, manipulating other people, probably trying to own them, and concerned, and make up something like that. Maybe she didn't make it up. Maybe she did see something, but we don't want to say that she's covered with boogers now, do we? Ah! That's filth. That's filth. That's how far things have gone, folks. And the church did not correct that person. They should have stood up. I mean, they should be very glad that we were not around, because I know two people that would have been escorted out. But not before we had escorted her. Actually, we would have never made it. We wouldn't have made it through the meetings. We wouldn't have, even if we'd have been there. You've got to be kidding. Go back to the verse. Look at it. Verse 7. Each one is given the manifestation of Spirit for the common good. For the common good. Got it? All right. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. Again, you do not hear anything saying that you must speak in tongues when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are different varieties of gifts for the... Now, some people will say, oh, no, it's just when you get started. But again, that's not in the Bible. You won't see it. They have looked at the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, and gone, there it is. And it happened that time. But again, it was as the Holy Spirit was giving utterance. We'll see as we go along. And we'll look at other scriptures in fact, there's other verses in Acts where you see they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but there is absolutely no mention of speaking in tongues. There's not. But they will say, well, but everybody saw that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It had to be speaking in tongues. No, it didn't. We've got another 8 gifts that it could have been, no matter what you say. Okay, verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Reading this grieves me. It does. This is such a wonderful gift. This is the life of God manifesting itself into the body of Christ to make that body function properly. I mean, in your own body, you know, you've got these different cells that do different things and different parts of your body and all this other stuff, but in the body of Christ, we've gone nuts with this or thrown it out. Verse 13, for by the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. Whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But, and I might add, this was written just for you. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. Well, maybe that wasn't written just for you, but that's the point, is you need to be desiring. You really should be. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want whatever gift He would give. I will show you a still a more excellent way. Now, there's a reason that chapter 13 is stuck in the middle of 12 and 14, because 12 and 14, they had gone, let's get fleshly. And Paul goes, let me put the bit in your mouth and slow you down. Now, with that context, let's read this chapter. I will show you a still more excellent way if I speak with the tongues. Remember, who is he dealing with? The church of Corinth. These people could give lessons in immaturity. Poor Paul dealing with these. Oh, my goodness. The reason, and we're glad for it in some ways, because we got a lot of good instruction. But they really were pulling stuff. He's talking about the gifts, and he says, stop it. Just stop. Come on. Quit. You need to quit worrying about all of these gifts and thinking who's got this and who's got what. And this is one of the terrible things that also is that, well, what gift do you have? What gift are you? What characteristics do you have? I'm a prophet, and I'm going to kill you all. So you just shut up. You know, what's all of that? Self. I will show you an excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, give my body up to be burned, and yet do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is patient. Remember, he is talking to a bunch of immature people. One of the greatest points of immaturity is impatience. I've got to have it now. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love would desire that others have the greater gifts also, not just self. Is not jealous, love does not brag, and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, and by the way, I have heard that said, if that is the King James Bible. And I mean violently. You bet, the perfect, that's it. So, I mean, it's just fascinating to watch people. I want you to listen, though. Going through and reading 1 Corinthians 13, just my heart that's having, I memorized it many years ago, and quoting back through it again, here even as we've been talking, has just been gripping. But listen listen to what Paul does. This is beautiful. You'll hear me preach this from time to time. We know in part, verse 9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. He gets down to immaturity. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I love that. That grips me. I remember meditating on that before. Now we see in a mirror dimly. He's been going along, painting this broad picture about love. And I mean, my goodness, he is speaking through the Holy Spirit. You have got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be writing down this thing. And he goes, now, when I was a child, this is the way that I acted, but I don't act that way anymore. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I. And he shifts from the we to the personal. It got to him. Wait a second. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am full of the living God. Oh my, the one thing that he wanted more in life than anything. Why are you persecuting me? I think I'm doing right. He did. He really believed he was doing right. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I have been fully known. Woo! Now abide. Faith. Now the word, let's put live. Now this is what lives. Faith. Hope. Love. But the greatest is love. We'll stop there for tonight.